into self-compassion. Self-compassion is really interesting. It's an interesting topic. It's an interesting concept. And I'm really interested in seeing a week from now what your experiences with this practice will be. My experience is the first time I took CCT, I didn't do the self-compassion practice at all. I kind of thought of it as kind of pop psychology. I don't know. For whatever reason, I had some resistance to it. I was like, eh, whatever. Looking back on it. And then the next week in a group like this, some people I really respect a lot were talking about how the practice had really affected them and this and that. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So I had to look at myself and go back and do the practice. So for me, it's been like 5 years of coming back and doing this practice again and again. And this is one that for me, the first times I was doing it, I felt like nothing. It just felt really different. It didn't feel natural. I didn't feel like I was feeling anything. For instance, self-compassion for a loved one. The first time I did that with my grandmother and my daughter, both times I was just like, whoa, you know, my heart just like exploded. And I was like, wow, that's never happened in a meditation. But then the self-compassion, like nothing. and that's because each of us are going to have that experience with some of the practices, and that's just part of the process. And Sharon Salzberg's sort of spiel about self-compassion is that, and she was already like a meditation teacher and had written books at this time and that kind of thing, but her teachers had given her very specific sort of practices to do, and she decided she wanted to do self-loving kindness, self-compassion, basically. And so she went off for like a retreat for 30 days or whatever and just did self-compassion for a month and felt like nothing was happening in her, the way she explains it. And then she was somewhere giving a talk or something and dropped a vase or something that shattered on the floor. And her default sort of script or stories would have been, Sharon, you're such a klutz. How could you do this? You're always dropping things. But instead, in that moment, she kind of chuckled and had this like moment of humor and self-compassion for herself in the situation. And she said, in that moment, she realized that month when she thought nothing was happening, it had really been working on her. And so that's my encouragement to all of you. If you feel like nothing's happening, just sort of stick with it. In my experiences, something will bubble up that'll sort of give you evidence that maybe, oh yeah, maybe something was sticking. And that's my experience a little bit with self-compassion, not at one moment like that, but it's very, in my experience, it's very subtle the way it's affected me. This particular practice can evoke a wide range of experiences, so I'll just sort of not talk about any of those, and we'll bring them up next week. What is self-compassion? That's a good question. I'm still trying to figure that out. I remember the first time at CCT training, I was asking Thupten Jinpa, like, I was approaching it really intellectual. Who is having compassion for who, if I'm having it for myself? Like, who is it? Who am I and who am I having compassion? And he was like, he didn't want to go there. And I can see why, because it's...
I think it would be easier to say what it's not.
What it's not. Okay, thank you very much. What it's not. It's not self-criticism. It's not self-indulgence. It's not wallowing in our own misery. It's not letting herself off the hook. It's not, I'm saying some of these because some of these are the kind of resistances people might have of, I don't want to have compassion. I'll let myself off the hook. I'll lose my edge. It's not, for me, it's often not, it doesn't feel like an emotion really. It's more of a, the way I relate to myself that might be less
critical. Is it just like
critical?
A non-judgmental acceptance?
Possibly. I'm going to let you explore it, so I'm not. It'll manifest in different ways. Kristen Neff's definition. Kristen Neff is sort of the person who's made really a name out of self-compassion. That's probably her website, selfcompassion.org. There's a checklist there. I'll put that up on the website if anyone else wants it. She identifies three components of self-compassion. The first is mindfulness. And she's talking about mindfulness of a particular kind, which is awareness of our own suffering, basically. So it's aware that I am suffering. And then her second component is, it's sort of a reframing of my suffering. She calls it common humanity, and we'll use this in a meditation. This is a really important piece of it. It's understanding my suffering as a common human condition, sort of. And there's tons of stuff. You can find her stuff anywhere on the internet, so there'll be plenty of resources if you want to read her, or she's given TED Talks and that kind of thing, and lots and lots of stuff. So it's basically, I'm aware that I'm suffering, and what are my habitual responses to my suffering? Typically, our responses are either to push it away or to kind of get stuck in it, wallow in it. And self-compassion and compassion in general is going to be sort of in the middle. We can kind of hold our suffering and see it for what it is and not be overcome by it in terms of like being wallowing in it or being distressed or just kind of constricted in it.
It sounds like accepting the truth of it. Sometimes it's important just to know the truth.
That's the mindfulness component. Mindfulness is accepting the truth, except often what we think is the truth are our assumptions of the truth. So I would say we're really accepting really more of closer to what the truth is. So it's holding my suffering and then sort of reframing my relationship to it. That's the common humanity piece. That's kind of how I'm putting in my own words right now. And it'll come across in the meditation very much. So for instance, well, I'll wait until we do the practice. I think it'll be pretty simple. And then the third component is kindness to yourself. Mindfulness, common humanity, and kindness are the way she describes the three components of self-compassion. And there's really going to, in my experience, there's a fine line between self-compassion and sort of being selfish. So I encourage you to explore that. Like, what is the difference? Like, if I need to take a break from myself to recharge or what have you, when is that self-compassion and when is it just me like avoiding things I should be doing? And like the same exact actions could be either one, you know. So it's
well,
really,
and that strikes me as a boundary issue again. How, it strikes me as a boundary issue, like how far are you going to let yourself, you know, the difference between selfishness and self-compassion. You know, it's like selfishness is almost when it's to the detriment of other people, maybe, or something along that. I don't know. I always have a problem with that, too. I always have a problem with the difference, because I look at some people and I go, I can't believe how selfish they are. And then I think, well, you have no self. So, you know, I'm the exact opposite. You know, they appear to me to be very selfish, and I think I'm just giving away everything, you know. And so I think probably somewhere in the middle is healthy. And that would not be me.
Yes, so it's going to be a balancing act. Everyone's going to be at a different place in it. So for some people, self-compassion is going to look very different than for another person. Yes. Yeah, Kristen Neff's particular take on self-compassion, she focuses a lot on self-judgment and self-criticism. I think there's a lot of other ways it kind of manifests, but her particular emphasis is on this sort of self-critical mind that it seems pretty prominent in our culture, actually.
What's that, Kristen?
Neff, N-E-F-F, and I'll have that stuff up on the website by this afternoon, but Neff. So your question in terms of evaluating our practice,
starting the mindfulness, settling our minds, and then compassion for the loved one, and now we're going to be doing self-compassion. So as we're building on this, and going back to, is it Linda? Mm-hmm. You're like, my mind right now is just kind of going, I'm playing table tennis with it. It's like, okay, so would that be judgmental? Would I be judging myself? Because I'm going through some of the same questions you're going through. It's like, okay, we're, I know I got to come somewhere in the middle, but as we're practicing then and our minds are being distracted, do we stop ourselves and then say,
no, that wouldn't be a good strategy.
Okay.
We want to take that, we're doing a practice, any practice, it could be any practice, it could be our breathing, it could be one of the compassion practices, we're doing the practice and then suddenly we're not doing the practice. We're distracted, so then the question is, what do you do when that happens? And that's really the practice, is what do we do when we're not doing it? And then the practice, as much as possible, is to just relax.
As we
do that more and more, it'll actually start softening that self-critical mind, and that part that compares ourselves to others or our own expectations. So that self-critical mind, it comes, some enters right in that moment when we've strayed from the practice, often to many of us. So that practice of, the practice of coming back is a practice of self-compassion to me. And it's a training in self-compassion. So it's very self-compassion to me is very subtle. It's not like this overwhelming feeling of love I have for myself, which, I mean, perhaps it could get there. Some people might. It's more subtle. It's like, all right, I'm accepting of who I am, non-judgmental. Not that I can embody that, but it's just being able to catch that self-judgment when it's happening, and just sort of having techniques, which will. Well, it's just meditation will provide to just sort of dismantle it. In terms of the common humanity piece, I want to do the practice soon, because that's the best way to talk about it, is I think after doing the practice, there's a part of reframing our suffering as a common human experience. And I think this is really important, because I honestly think some people now who are writing and promoting self-compassion aren't taking this avenue as much. I think the critical piece of self-compassion in this program is it is the bridge to compassion for others, in a sense, also, and other way around. But it's really the more we tap into our own suffering in a compassionate way, it really can be a bridge to having compassion for others. And there's a step in this practice, which you imagine your own suffering. And just really feel into it. That's how I like to say it. And just breathe into it. And what often happens is, if I'm aware of my own suffering, I feel kind of constricted. And everyone's different, but for me, it is a feeling of being constricted. And like in a cocoon, kind of, and self-evaluation. It's like my suffering. Nobody else can get to it. It's mine. And it separates me from everyone else. And in the self-compassion piece, we really want to feel that suffering and then recognize that underneath all the stories and stuff I might have about it, there's just an experience of discomfort or whatever that is a common human experience. And just reframing it that way and breathing into that and realizing that my self-compassion is also compassion for countless others who experience the same type of thing that I'm experiencing, and it'll sort of loosen it up a little bit, and it will actually be a bridge to moving out to compassion for others. So self-compassion is not simply, I'm going through all this stuff right now, feeling sorry for myself or soothing myself. There's also this component of reframing our stories around it, maybe. Mm-hmm.